We're going to take our reading this evening from the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. Verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." And God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. He was just 3 months old when they took him to surgery at Craigavon Area Hospital. He'd been unable to keep his food down, and the medical staff had been trying to discover the problem, but because his symptoms did not fit what they called the classic case of pyloric stenosis, they needed to be sure that there was nothing left after the surgery. So they had to examine the whole of his bowel. And after the surgery, he was so weak. And I remember speaking to the surgeon and saying to her, is this very dangerous now? And she said, yes, it is. If his bowel doesn't come back into operation, he will die. And it hit me like a rocket. I remember praying and seeking God and asking God. And over that weekend where he hung in the balance, I was reading the scripture and from Psalm 37 and verse 7, and it said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And when I was talking to another member of the family, the close family, they had said, "You know, Jimmy, I was reading the scripture and I read Psalm 37, verse 7, and it said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." On the Monday, we went in, first thing, and we were greeted by smiles from the nurses. And there they had a dirty nappy. I never thought I'd be ever so glad to see a dirty nappy. That was my son, Alistair. And we knew that God had his hand on him, even from back then. He's now 18 stone and 41 years of age, and has been, he's a minister leading a church. Answered prayer. It's wonderful when you get an answer to prayer. There's something really amazing. Psalm 126 tells us how that whenever the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it says, we were like them that dreamed. There's something about that. You know, whenever God steps in and you almost think you're dreaming because God has stepped in a miraculous way. We're filled with amazement. And Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back again the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And then it says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And so you begin to sing praises. Then they said among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. We begin to tell others about it. And then there's prayer and expectation when it says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's something wonderful when God answers prayer or when God speaks into a situation. But what about those times when there is unanswered prayer? What about those times? I believe the Lord requires us to be honest. And my experience has not always been like the one I explained to you. There have been times when there has been situations when I've experienced silence. One of the hardest areas to cope with is when we go to God in prayer concerning a particular situation or problem, expecting an answer only to find silence. I've been discovering that my experience of the silence of God is not unique, but has been experienced by the people of God in every age and every situation. It's not just unique to our time. And as I've been going through the scriptures, I've found that again and again. Listen to some of them. Psalm 83, verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. Psalm 44, 23 to 26. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. And not only in the scriptures, but actually through the people that are mentioned in the scriptures, there are many examples of people who have experienced the silence of God. I think of the first one is Abraham. God promised Abram a son who would be his heir and told him that through his offspring he would be the father of many nations. But then heaven was silent and no child was born to Sarah, who was now well past childbearing age. And Abram fathered a child through Hagar, Sarah's maid. And so the Arab nations began. And when faced with the silence of God, they tried to resolve that by taking it into their own hands, by seeking to fulfill the promise of God through Hagar, the maid. And we live with the problem today in our world. Joseph, a young man with great dreams about what was ahead of him. But he was sold into slavery by his brothers, slandered by him, and imprisoned wrongfully by the lies of Potiphar's unfaithful wife, and forgotten by a fellow prisoner who promised to plead his cause. And he experienced the silence of God. Job experienced the silence of God. Job 19, 7 and 8 says, if I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. Job 30:20, it says, I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me. David, King David, in Psalm 6 says, my soul is greatly troubled, but you are Lord, O Lord. How long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Martin Dehan, the second, wrote, disappointment has a way of turning our prayers into silence. So often in our lives, when we're faced with the silence of God, that we give up on prayer. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is the tree of life. You know, we all long for those Elijah experiences, like the situations that is spoken to about in the book of James. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know, I long for and believe that nothing should deter us from reaching out to God in prayer with the expectation that we will get the answer straight away. But we must always also realize that just as there are the Elijah situations, we also have the Job ones. Do you know the interesting common denominator that links the experiences of all these Old Testament saints is simply this, that God stepped in for every one of them. There was the silence, but then God stepped in. And how easy we forget important truths when we're going through difficult and trying times. When answers do not come, and we can't understand what is going on, it is more difficult to bear when you cannot identify any valid reason why you should be going through such a traumatic time. If you had done something wrong, then you would at least understand. This evening, I want to remind you of just a few of these truths that will help us get through the times when God is silent. I certainly have found times when going through some of the darkest periods of my life, whenever it seemed as if God was silent. And through my life, I've discovered some great truths that have enabled me to come through those times. And let's be honest, all of us go through times of trial. Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble comes our way. We don't look for it, but it does come. And sometimes in those situations, we feel alone. And I want to just share with you just some basic biblical truths that will help us when God is silent. Here's the first one. When God is silent, remember to stay close to Jesus. Do you know, one of the things that we tend to do when we're faced with the silence of God, or when we face a situation, when we pray and the answer doesn't come straight away, we pull away. We pull away. It's like going through tough times. I've discovered as a pastor that I've seen many Christian people who have gone through a tough time, and they stay away from church. They stay away from fellowship when that's the very thing that we need at that time. Remember this. Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Do you know, mediation is a word that is a common word used today. It speaks of bringing two people together, bringing situations together, and trying to find a way through. Listen, Jesus is our mediator. He is one who comes and pleads our cause. Do you know there are times when we face the silence of God? Jesus, paying the price for our sin on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Remember this, he had never been without the sense of the presence of his Father, but on the cross, he is totally and completely alone. And there's silence. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. His sacrifice on the cross paid the price for our sin, and the broken relationship between God and man could be healed and peace restored. Folks, he is our mediator. He is also our great high priest. The book of Hebrews says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need to hold on to the fact that Christ, who is our high priest, sympathizes with us and knows exactly what we're going through, even in the times when we face the silence of God. Christ is our intercessor. Romans 8 tells us, "He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Folks, on the whole issue of the intercession of Christ on our behalf, it's important we remember the words of Jesus to Peter just before the dark days when he denied the Lord. In Luke 22, it's recorded, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But listen to this, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Do you know, even when heaven is silent, Jesus is interceding for you. He is also our ever-present helper. Hebrews 13 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Dave Dervaeke, in his book, When You Can't Come Back, in Christianity Today, says, I have learned that God's silence to my questions is not a door slammed in my face. I may not have answers, but I do have him. I sing a song that I recorded some years ago. It's called When Answers Aren't Enough, There Is Jesus. And there are times when we don't have all the answers, but we do have Jesus. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God the Father loves you so much that he was willing to send his only Son Jesus to purchase your salvation and mine, and Jesus was willing to go through all that he went through on the cross for you and me, you can be sure of this. He is still at work looking after your good and his glory. You may not understand what's going on and why he is silent in answering that prayer, but whether you realize it or not, he is still with you. He is still with you. Also, remember God's provision. God's past provision. One of the things that have encouraged me when I have faced situations in my life that I tend to look back and I look at the times when God brought me through situations. Do you know, it's when you look back that you see things clearer. There's that amazing verse that Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I have to say to you, one of the things I've discovered is whenever somebody's going through a real, real tough time, giving them that verse sometimes is not terribly appropriate. Because I remember somebody saying that to me once, many, many years ago, and I was going through an awful time, and I thought, that's not really helpful. But looking back, I didn't see it at the time. But looking back, I can see it now. And it's a verse that really is only clearly understood looking back rather than at the time. You know, one of the things that we need to do when faced with the silence of God is to remember God's provision in the past. Psalm 44 says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. Folks, God brings us through situations that can be a huge help to us. It is no secret what God can do, because what he's done for others, he'll do for you. So remember the things God has brought you through in the past. Here's the next one. Remember God's timing. That's the reason we read from Ecclesiastes. There is a season for everything. God's timing is everything. So often we want it to happen right now. When I was a little boy growing up in the streets of Belfast, the ice cream man would come round. And I'd run into the house and I'd say, "Can I have an ice cream?" And my mum would say, "Not today, when he comes round tomorrow." But I wanted it today. Do you know, there's a wee bit of us that always wants it right now. But we need to remember that God's timing is perfect. There is a time when God moves, and it's not our time. Someone wrote, "I cannot tell you why a prayer that has been prayed for 10 years is answered on the 1,000th request when God has met the first 999 with silence." Number four, remember God's purposes. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Do you know, God has a purpose in all he does. And all we see is the request that we make and the need that we have right there and now. But God is working out his purpose and his plan even through the things that we go through. Romans 5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." God sees the bigger picture. He sees beyond what we see. Do you know, I can tell you this, that over the years, I have learned much about this area, because God works his purposes out. I've gone through some stuff in my life, and I can tell you this, that while those were the most difficult valley experiences of my life, they were the most helpful. Frankly, I wouldn't want to go through them again. But I can tell you this, that I am richer for it. My experience with God is deeper because of it. And I'm able to help others in a way that I never, ever could have done before they happened. Why? Because God brings us through situations not just for us, but for others. So often in our lives, our world revolves around us and we think that it's all about us. No, it isn't. When God called Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, yes, it affected him, but it wasn't just about him. He was going to bring forth from Abraham a nation through whom the Messiah would come so that the world would be blessed. God has a bigger, bigger picture. And even in our lives that so often we feel are so insignificant, God has still that bigger picture. He wants to do through us stuff. But before he can do stuff through us, he's got to do stuff in us. When I went through Bible college, and you begin to come across some of these situations, there was a verse that was a real help to me. It's the verse when, in Genesis 18, where Abram said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And you know, one of the things we need to realize, and the next thing that we need to do, is to remember God's character. God is a good God. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. He always does what is right. And whenever we're faced with the silence of God, we need to come back to this one ground truth. God is, his character is loving and righteous and holy. Psalm 18, 30 to 32 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." Ask for God. His way is perfect. And so we remember God's purposes. We remember God's character. And then we remember to rejoice and praise God. Powerful scripture in the book of Habakkuk. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high places to the chief musician with stringed instruments." Do you know, one of the greatest things that I've learned, whenever someone hurts you very, very deeply, and it's not one of those things that generally you can shrug off just like that, and if you're not careful, you can hold bitterness and unforgiveness. And you know the problem with that? The problem with that is that takes you down. It's like a poison rising in you. Someone once said, holding bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person will die. Nelson Mandela said, "When you hate your enemy, you give him your heart. He controls you." But you know, friends, if that's the way unforgiveness and bitterness affects us, praising God does the opposite. Do you know what I find? I find when I was going through times when it seemed God was silent, or when I was going through a tough experience, I'd put a a CD or a tape on, and I'd begin to praise the Lord. I'd begin to sing. And my spirit was lifted. And it helped me through. So remember to rejoice and praise the Lord. Here's the final one. Remember to wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember that although God is silent with regard to the answer, he's still working. He is still speaking through the situation, molding us to be what he wants us to be. What we need to do is to submit ourselves to the Lord and Master of our lives, remembering this: he makes everything beautiful in his time, even the ugly things. Let me tell you a very personal story from our family. Many, many years ago, way back in the early 1950s, I was just a toddler. My grandparents, who loved the Lord, they came home from church one Sunday night, and they had quite a large family, and the family were all away. They were grown up, and they were all over the place that Sunday. And none of them were walking in the way of the Lord. And as parents, those of you who are Christian parents will know that's the greatest desire we have for our kids. And one Sunday night, they came home from church, and my grandparents lived in the Bloomfield area of Belfast, and my granda said to my granny, "Love, we'll just close the big door." There was two doors, a glass door and then the outside door. He said, "We'll just close the big door and we'll get down on our knees and we'll pray for the kids." And that night they got down and they prayed for the children, grown-up children. Within a couple of weeks, my grandparents were involved in a car accident, and my gran was very seriously injured and passed away within a couple of days. My granda, he missed her so much, he only survived another 6 months. They never, ever seen the answer to that prayer. But you know, my grandfather, who had taken a stroke and was unconscious, on that particular day, it was a Sunday, and my Uncle Samuel, who was the youngest of the family, was on the back of a motorbike that had been to Bangor with his friend, and he was in the back of a motorbike, and they were coming down the Albert Bridge Road, and somebody in a car came out in front of them out of Templemore Avenue, and the motorbike went into the car, the steering wheel turned round, and my Uncle Samuel's friend, the handlebar went through his chest and killed him straight away. And my Uncle Samuel was thrown into the air 20 feet and hit the ground, and there wasn't a scratch on him. And he came home that night, got down on his knees, and committed his life to Christ. He later went in to the Anglican ministry and just passed away 2 years ago. And he tried to tell my granda, and he doesn't know whether my granda ever knew that he'd got saved, because my granda was in an unconscious state. And you know, although my grandparents never seen their children come to Christ, I have lived to see it. Right down to my dad, one by one, they all came to Christ. And when they got down that Sunday night after church and prayed, they didn't have the answer. But in the glory, they'll have the answer. And there are times when we need to wait on God's times. And I want to say that to you. If there's somebody here and maybe you've got a wayward child or something like that, keep praying. Keep holding on. He's still a God who answers prayer. Don't give up on the silences. But hold on to Him. Remember His character. Let's just pray. In the moment we'll have the ministry song, He Will Not Let You Let Go. But just in the quietness of our hearts, not asking for anything public, this is between you and God. I've just delivered what I really felt before God, the Lord had laid in my heart for today. And maybe you're going through a tough time, and maybe you felt like giving up. Don't pull away. Press into Jesus. Stay close to Him. Remember God's character. Remember God's purposes. And remember to rejoice and praise God. And remember to wait for the Lord's time. His time is perfect. Father, plant your word deep in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.